Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:08. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is October 6th. And today was another day in which the precious metals made headlines that would not have been greeted by anybody with a long position, because silver was down 33 cents and it is extending its decline. Gold down 12, platinum down 8, palladium down 6, and what we're seeing is that there is still concerted selling pressure, and there are a number of reasons that are being proposed for this. But what we can reasonably conclude is that there is a bear raid going on, that there is a concerted attempt underway to shake out the bulls in this market. What I think it is worth highlighting is that despite that we have had declines on consecutive days, is that there is a deep short-term oversold condition evolving, that these prices are now trading below their exponential moving averages, but really they are still in the region of those MAs. But reality is that clear upper dynamics are required to check the decline and for us to be able to conclude that a low of at least near-term significance has been reached. Right now, it really is for the bulls to prove. That has filtered through into the gold miner sector, which until quite recently had been the best performing sector in the stock market this year. But the performance overall has been quite mixed. A fairly considerable number of the better performers are still trading above their respective trend means, but they are rapidly unwinding short-term overbought conditions. And I think particular attention needs to be paid to those that pay higher dividends. Sibanye-Stillwater, for example, has a yield in excess of 4%. Zijin Mining in Hong Kong, almost 3%. The reality is that this has been a deep and very aggressive corrective phase overall, but at the same time, value is rapidly being priced back in, and a bullish catalyst, of course, would be an upward dynamic on behalf of the gold price. I think it is as true now as it has been for all of this year that the gold mining sector offers leverage to the gold price. So if we do in fact see some of this short-term oversold condition beginning to be unwound, potentially from next week, or at least some profit-taking starting to come in tomorrow from on the short side, that could act as at least a near-term bullish catalyst for the mining sector. But I think it is worth hi also highlighting that there is quite a marked difference between the performance of the precious metals, for example, and the industrial metals, or the oil market for that matter, because oil prices were up another 70 cents in here today on WTI, and on Brent crude, it was up about the same. But what we're seeing is that the oil price is now testing the upper side of what has been a 3-year range, excuse me, 3-month range, and there is a mildly short-term overbought condition evident, so we may see some consolidation in this area, but it would be required a clear downward dynamic would be required to confirm resistance in this area and to send prices trading back down towards the lower side of that range. So far, we haven't seen that, and we're still living through the repercussions of that OPEC meeting from last week, where there was an agreement by Saudi Arabia to cut output, whether Iran or, as prices move higher, unconventional suppliers will be able to make up for that decline in supply. And it is a decline from an historically high level. That is still the open question as to whether prices can sustain a move up and out of this range. Because those questions are evident, it would suggest that we are going to get at least some consolidation in this area for oil prices overall. But by and large, because oil prices have recovered and almost doubled off of their lows from early this year, and because the London Metals Index has in large part broken its medium-term downtrend, then the industrial metal miners are exhibiting relative strength right now, and an increasing number are breaking their respective progressions of lower rally highs and breaking those up to 4 and 5 year downtrends overall. And you know, particularly, and I think this is also worth considering, that when we look at the stock market sector indices, that it is utilities and consumer staples that have pulled back below their respective trend means, and not least because of the move that we've had in the bond markets. This has been a pretty emphatic rebound from the 1.5% area on the 10-year. It was in additional negative territory in here today, down a quarter of a point. And the yield is now closing at a new recovery, a closing high, right in the region of the trend mean. It's been up for the last 5 consecutive sessions, so then there is the potential that we get a pause here. But I don't think that we can still describe the bond markets as complacent. That's something that I've reiterated in just about every audio this week, that people really are beginning to get the message that the status quo has changed. That doesn't mean that the Fed is going to suddenly open the floodgates and start selling off all the bonds that it has accrued. Rather the opposite, I suspect. But what it does mean is that they have succeeded in upsetting the status quo, that people have been just riding the coattails of the Fed in on this momentum move, and that momentum move ended in July. It is now a more bond unfriendly environment overall. That suggests that we are going to see higher yields over the medium term. Something I've written about in my copy today is that, you know, when I was reading bond math manuals shortly after joining Bloomberg in the spring of 2000, I was reading all about convexity, and I still remember it because I haven't heard one word of it since. Of course, convexity is the influence that interest rates have on price and yield. And of course, there hasn't been any need to worry about convexity over the last decade, because there simply hasn't been any interest rate risk. But with the Fed increasingly talking about the likelihood that they're going to raise rates and trying to influence the bond markets by jawboning yields higher, then we can anticipate that convexity is going to become more of an issue, that the risk of interest rates is something that is now being priced into bonds, and that would suggest that a higher yield is required. So this is a potential important level. We could indeed see a rally in bond prices, just because we're right at the region of the moving average, that it might pause in this area. But there is now a higher reaction low on that yield chart, that the low was in July. The higher reaction low was just recently, and that would suggest that we're in a nascent uptrend, and clear resistance now in this area would be required to really question that we're not going to break this progression of lower rally highs that's been there for 2 years. And if that is a bigger, and I guess we need to think about short, medium, and long term, just to avoid any confusion. Short term, there is a short-term oversold condition on the price because it has fallen for 5 consecutive days, so we might get some steadying. Medium term, we've seen that there was a low in the yield, a high in the price in June, sorry, in July. We've had a failed downside break on that yield. We've now seen the yield find support at a progressively higher level, which suggests that supply is coming in at the supply is waiting less time in which to liquidate their positions, and is now testing the region of the moving average. If we look at it longer term, there is a long range, and that the range is just about from 1.5% to 3%, and we're really now only at the very lower side of that range. So there is ample potential for yields to rise and still be within a ranging environment overall. But I think that if we take a really big step back and look at the bigger picture, then The fact that we are at such incredibly low interest rates overall, and that we have had such an incredible momentum move already, then the market is susceptible to a somewhat bigger pullback. And I really do look at the Merrill Lynch 10-year plus total return in futures index on a daily basis, because I continue to regard it as one of the most important charts there is. If that breaks below the 200-day moving average, encounters resistance in the region of it, and then moves to a new low, then that would signal the end of what has been the biggest and most persistent bull market in history. I think there's people have dug a lot of graves for themselves by anticipating it. But what we are seeing is that something has changed. The Fed is now raising interest rates, and obviously there are still doubters as to whether they will go ahead and do it or not. And I think until they actually do it, we won't have real confidence. But we've had concurrent expansion of the bond, property, and stock markets. So higher interest rates are going to have an effect on leverage overall. If the cost of margin goes up, the size of the position has to come down, or you have to pony up more money. But then the cost of borrowing the money in which to fund that margin will have increased as well. So that is not a particularly virtuous circle overall. And I think that that is what can we conclude is that we're in a riskier environment overall. Stock markets today were pretty much unchanged overall. The S&P 500 was up just a tad, and the Dow and the Nasdaq were down a bit. We have had just up one day, down the next, and this has been a very tight consolidation. That the market really hasn't gone anywhere at all in the last 2 weeks, but it is holding at all-time new highs, and as long as it is doing that, then people will not have experienced a great deal of profit erosion, and as long as that is the case, there won't be any panicky selling in stock markets. But they absolutely need to hold to these breakouts, and then the margin of error is actually not that much. If we continue to see oil prices moving higher from here, then that might add the tailwind to stocks to continue to advance. And of course, if earnings begin to improve, then that would be an additional factor. Now, there is, of course, an additional factor, and it is that economic activity does not expand. That would require perhaps feed through into the Fed not raising interest rates, and then that would be concluded that the easy monetary environment is going to persist. We would then have the liquidity argument that markets could move higher from here. So what happens with the Fed and the bond market overall really does have a very, very wide influence. And the strength of the dollar today is an additional factor in that. So the yen is trading at 104. The pound was really quite weak again. It was down over a full cent, down to 126, and extended the downtrend again. Now, when we look at the respective stock markets, it was a quiet day overall in Europe. The majority of those indices are still trading in the region of their 200-day moving averages. The total return DAX index is trading above it, but the majority, and specifically the Euro Stoxx 50, has not yet broken clear and broken what's a 2-year progression of lower rally highs. The Nikkei was up a bit in here today, but it's trading still below the 17,000 level. The Hang Seng in China has gone now right back up to test that 24,000 level again. It's currently trading about 48 points shy of 24,000, and that is still exhibiting a quite clear relative strength. And of course, then valuations there are somewhat lower than we have in a number of other markets. The Australian market was also in mildly positive territory in here today. So it has been a rather inert environment, by and large, for stock markets. All of the action is happening in the currency, bond, and commodity markets. That isn't always going to be the case. That what we certainly know is that these very inert periods give way to explosive breakouts, and they can happen in either direction. This is not a risk-free environment overall. I think it is a time to be increasingly vigilant. And I think that is perhaps the biggest message to take away. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.